Good morning and happy Sabbath, everyone. Good morning. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Julie, and on Saturdays you'll find me here at Plenty Valley, either serving as an elder or playing guitar up the front. But on weekdays, I have a very different stage. I am a speech pathologist. Speech pathology is all about helping people find their voice, whether that's a child learning to speak, which is what I do on a day-to-day basis, or an adult recovering from strokes, or someone finding the courage to communicate with confidence again. Our profession has come a long way. It really gained recognition after the First and Second World War, when soldiers were returning home with brain injuries. And it was common for them to suffer from aphasia, which is difficulties with speech, or dysphagia, which is difficulty with swallowing, after returning home. As technology advanced, imaging and research has greatly increased our knowledge around the brain and how speech, language, and swallowing, and much more, stems from our brains. Today, there are more than 15,000 speech pathologists working across Australia. We're still a pretty small profession. And we work from anywhere around hospitals, schools, aged care, and many other places. But today, I'd like to take you on a slightly different case study. This one's not from my usual caseload, and it actually came from an unknown number, the same number that's calling me right now. Hello, you're speaking with Julie from the Speech Pathology Department. How can I help?
Hello, Julie. This is God calling.
God as in my God? Wow, okay. This is definitely not the kind of referral I normally get on a Saturday morning. How can I help?
Well, I'd like to refer one of my clients to you for an assessment.
Okay, we're always here to help. So let's go through some information for some case history. First of all, what's the client's name?
Well, let's keep that confidential for now.
Okay. Confidentiality is very important after all. What's his age and occupation?
Well, about 80 years old, and he's a shepherd.
Shepherd, do you mean of sheep or of people?
Well, that's still being clarified at this stage.
Right, okay, so occupation, shepherd, not specified whether people or sheep. And what are your main concerns with this person about their communication?
Well, he reports not being good enough for with his words. And he's quite anxious about speaking in public. And he's been avoiding my calling because of that.
So, disfluency and avoidance of communicative situations. Possibly some social anxiety. Got it.
Yes, that's about it. He also tends to talk himself out of my instructions.
Okay, so he's one of those clients. Let me handle that. Let's go to the birth and developmental history.
Well, he had a quite miraculous start to life. As a baby, he was placed in a basket and he was floated down a river. And there he was rescued by a princess.
Sorry, did you just say he floated down a river and rescued by royalty? Well, that's a new one. Okay, any feeding or swallowing issues as a baby?
No, none. He ate, he slept, he floated the basket just like a pro.
Okay, great. We love to see a good early feeding history. What about his childhood?
He was raised in two cultures, Hebrew and Egyptian. He was bilingual, highly educated, and he was described as capable and intelligent.
Okay, so good receptive and expressive language development, bilingual exposure, that's a good one. And a rich learning environment. Sounds like he had every advantage growing up. What's his social situation now as an adult?
He's married with two sons and he's got supportive in-laws and he's currently living in Midian and he's working there as a shepherd.
Okay, so fairly stable family structure. Any psychosocial factors I should be aware of?
Yes, he committed a crime in Egypt many years ago. And he fled to Midian, and he's lived there in exile ever since.
Okay, so some significant trauma, shame, and avoidance that could definitely contribute to low confidence and reluctance to speak publicly. Okay, let's summarise. So receptively, he understands you well, but sometimes struggles to trust what you say?
Yes, that's correct. He hears me clearly, but he doubts himself and he sometimes doubts me as well.
Okay. And expressively, he's disfluent, he's hesitant and avoids public speaking. Low self-confidence?
Yes, he's convinced that he's the wrong person for the job. That's the job that I've chosen for him.
And pragmatically, he lacks confidence, he avoids leadership roles, but you think he'll improve with time?
Oh, absolutely. I have big plans for him. He just doesn't know it yet.
Okay. Thank you for this referral. I'll set up a therapy plan and touch base with you later. Thank you for now. Bye. Okay. Listening, speaking and acting are three therapy goals for today as we journey through my chosen trailblazer, Moses. Firstly, listening. In the speech pathology world, we use this term receptive language, which refers to one's ability to listen, to understand and interpret spoken and written sounds, words and information. So to test your receptive language skills today, I want you to listen to three audio tracks that I will play shortly. I'm only testing your receptive skills. So don't shout out your answers, listen and write them down or remember them because that will come soon. So example number one, have a listen. Okay. Okay, number two. And number three. Okay. So now that you're listening carefully, receptive language includes but is not limited to following instructions, understanding questions, stories, ideas, as well as understanding of concepts such as size, shape, time, grammar, and more. Looking at our client Moses, we will see that his receptive language was developing. If you've got your Bibles with you, please turn with me to Exodus chapter 3 and we'll be reading from verse 1. The verses will also be on the screen for you. Exodus 3 verse 1 says, "One day, Moses was tending the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian. He led the flock far into the wilderness and came to Sinai, the mountain of God. There, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in the blazing fire from the middle of the bush. Moses stared in amazement. Though the bush was engulfed in flames, it didn't burn. 'This is amazing,' Moses said to himself. 'Why isn't that bush burning up? I must go and see it.' When the Lord saw Moses coming to take a closer look, God called out to him from the middle of the bush, 'Moses, Moses.' 'And here I am,' Moses replied. 'Do not come any closer,' the Lord warned. 'Take off your sandals, for you are standing on holy ground. I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob.' When Moses heard this, he covered his face because he was afraid to look at God." Verse 10. "Now go, for I am sending you to Pharaoh. You must lead my people Israel out of Egypt." But Moses protested to God, "Who am I to appear before Pharaoh? Who am I to lead the people of Israel out of Egypt?" And God answered, "I will be with you, and this is my sign that I am the one who has sent you. When you have brought people out of Egypt, you will worship God at this very mountain." Here, we see the process of listening. Simply put, step one is auditory processing when we hear a sound. The sound waves travels through our ears, and ultimately, the brain makes sense of the sounds that you hear, turning them into meaningful information that we can understand and respond to. Moses' auditory processing, the ability to make sense of the sounds that he heard, was intact. Oh. his ability to truly... Sorry, let me go back a step. So Moses' auditory processing, his ability to make sense of the sounds that he hears, was intact. God called out saying, "Moses, Moses," and he responded. And his response, we would say, was appropriate. He responded with, "Here I am." Step two is the interpretation of sounds and or the comprehension of the sounds that we hear. This is where we see some breakdown. So Moses hears the words, but the words are not accurately understood or interpreted. His ability to truly take in and listen to what God was saying was still under development. He heard the words, but he did not understand the truth behind them, that God had chosen him and that God's presence would equip him, as mentioned in verse 12. That is the heart of receptive language in a spiritual sense. It's not about hearing God's word, but understanding and trusting his words and his voice. We read scripture, we hear sermons, and we sense God speaking. But deep down, like Moses, sometimes we doubt whether his message really applies to us. Like Moses, we might respond with, "Who am I?" instead of, "Here I am." As Romans 10:17 says, "So faith comes from hearing, that is, the good news of Jesus Christ." That, I believe, is spiritual receptive language. It's learning to receive his promises as truth for our own lives. So the first therapy goal for Moses, and for us, is to become better listeners. Not just hearing, but being receptive to and truly believing God's word. So my question for you to reflect on this morning is, are we plugged in and are we connected to hear God's voice? Or are we letting the noise of life drown out his calling for our lives? Let me read that out for you again. Are we plugged in and connected to God to hear his voice? Or are we letting the noise of life drown out his calling for our lives? Okay. After speaking comes listening, otherwise known as expressive language. It is the ability to communicate our thoughts, ideas, and feelings to others. In this case, it is more... In this case, it is more than forming words correctly. It's using language confidently and effectively to convey meaning. Expressive language can include speech fluency, word choice, and even tone of voice, or emphasis placed on certain words. It incorporates the use of gestures, sign language, and use of visuals or technology to communicate. So earlier you heard three audio tracks, and I asked you to remember what they were. I have the audio tracks again just in case you fell asleep or you weren't listening. Now this time you will hear it, and afterwards I want you to shout out your answers. Number one. Crickets. Correct. You are listening well. Okay. Number two. Yep. Bowling pins. So thank you for using your expressive language skills to tell me the answer. And number three. Yep. Hitting a golf ball. Okay. Now let's explore expressive language through our trailblazer, Moses. Now we're jumping across to Exodus chapter 4, verses 10 to 12, where we find a piece of scripture, well known, where expressive language is discussed. So Exodus chapter 4, verses 10 to 12. Verse 10 says, "But Moses pleaded with the Lord, 'O Lord, I am not very good with my words. I never have been, and I'm not now, even though you have spoken to me. I get tongue-tied and my words get tangled.' Then the Lord asked Moses, 'Who makes a person's mouth? Who decides whether the people speak or do not speak? Hear or do not hear? See or do not see? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go. I will be with you as you speak, and I will instruct you in what to say.'" These verses state three elements of expressive language. The first is, I'm not good with words. Now, something that I'd like to differentiate here is speech versus language. Speech consists of the sounds that a person's puts together to form words, such as s for your snake sound or th as a thinking rabbit sound is what we call it. Now, language, however, is the use of words, how we put words together to form sentences and convey meaning. Moses here states that he is not good with his words. Perhaps he had a speech issue, maybe a lisp. Maybe he couldn't say a specific sound, or perhaps he struggled with forming sentences or to choose the right words to express himself. Secondly, tongue-tied and getting words tangled is something that in today's world we might describe as someone with a stutter. Or, for adults, maybe more commonly known as a motor planning issue. Interestingly, stuttering is more common in males than females, so Moses checks that box, and is also most commonly treated with evidence-based practice, which would be praise and reinforcement. Funny for Moses' case. And in verse 12, this is the positive reinforcement that God gives Moses. The third element of expressive language, is mentioned in chapter 3 and chapter 4, and it's a common word where Moses pleaded with the Lord. The word pleaded carries more than a polite request. It reflects hesitation, fear, and perhaps a deep desire to escape. There's even more emotion felt here. Perhaps his tone of voice changed, or maybe he used gestures. This touches on the pragmatic part of communication that we'll touch on soon. But instead of focusing on God's ability, Moses focused on his own expressive difficulties. Moses may have felt inadequate, but God didn't say, "You're right, Moses, you're not good at this." Moses' second therapy goal is targeting his expressive language skills, and I believe this should also be our goal. Just like Moses' speech was imperfect, God promises to guide and support us. God promised that he would speak through Moses and promised to Moses that his words would carry God's authority and that God would give Moses his help. Moses' story reminds us that whatever expressive challenges we have, they do not disqualify us. Just like God used Moses, our Heavenly Father doesn't need us to be perfect. He just wants our faith and our willingness to step forward and to trust in him. Okay. Number 3 is acting. Together, receptive and expressive language contribute together to what we call pragmatics. Pragmatics refers to how we use language in social situations. It's not just what we say, but how we say it, when we say it, and why. From simple things such as greeting people, to engaging in conversation, to understanding another person's point of view, this is all pragmatics. And for Moses, the area of pragmatics was perhaps the most challenging part of his communication journey. Even though he could hear God speak, with his guidance, Moses struggled with confidence, decision-making, and accepting leadership roles. He initially resisted God's call and doubted his ability to manage the people of Israel. Exodus 4, verse 13 says, "But Moses again pleaded, 'Lord, please send someone else.'" Now remember, throughout verse 3 and remember that through chapter 3 and chapter 4, Moses has pleaded with God several times. And despite God's reassurance, even through the demonstration of his power and through two miracles, Moses pleads again. His self-esteem and avoidance for responsibility here is clear. While receptive and expressive language can contribute significantly to pragmatic difficulties, there are often some different factors at play, making it more difficult for speech pathologists like me to treat. In a clinical setting, we might need to look at some strategies and resources and make recommendations to help while we target the bigger issue. And that's what God does. Exodus chapter 4, verses 14 to 16 reads, "Then the Lord became angry with Moses. 'All right,' he said, 'what about your brother Aaron the Levite? I know he speaks well. And look, he's on his way to meet you now. He will be delighted to see you. Talk to him and put the words in his mouth. I will be with both of you as you speak, and I will instruct you both in what to do. Aaron will be your spokesperson to the people. He will be your mouthpiece, and he will stand in the place of God for him, telling him what to say. God creates a support system for Moses. Moses remains the leader and the one that God has called, the one who carries the vision, who makes the decisions, and obeys God's instruction. Aaron becomes Moses' communication partner to speak clearly, to reinforce the message, and to help Moses' words reach the people effectively. That is what pragmatic language teaches us. Language is not a tool for connection. Sorry, language is a tool for connection, for influence, and for purpose. It is not just about speaking clearly, it's about using words wisely to lead, to encourage, and to serve. And today, we have laid out Moses' therapy plan in three areas. Receptive language, which is listening and trusting God's voice, even when he didn't understand it. Expressive language, speaking with courage, even when doubts, hesitations, and imperfections overwhelm us. And pragmatics, using our words wisely to lead, to influence, and to serve and support where needed. As I invite the band up for our final song, I want to leave you with a few final thoughts. Moses was a trailblazer, not because he spoke perfectly, but because he let God use his imperfect voice for a perfect purpose. Moses is a trailblazer who spoke with God's power, and today we are invited to follow in his path. Listening not to our own voice, but to God's voice, and speaking not to our own words, but the name of Jesus. So I ask you today, will you let God use your voice for his perfect purpose? And will you speak Jesus today and every day?